Hi, Don Saxinger, FDIC, and I do IT examinations. My question, I guess I'll direct sort of towards Marion from a regulatory consumer perspective. There are some examples given in other countries where they've had to deal with mobile network operators, and it seems like there's two models. One, where the mobile network operator took over and eliminated the banks out of the system, out of the payment system. And another model where the regulator stepped in and had to keep the bank within the model so that they could continue to regulate it. And those examples were given for undeveloped countries, but there are other countries where the mobile network operators, they want that type of business, including the U.S., where we see more and more network operators want to get into the content business. And so from a consumer perspective, the models you drew there kind of all showed banks in there. But what would happen if the banks were eliminated from that? How would we port over our consumer protection, such as Reg E and Reg Z, so that the mobile network operators would be just as responsive to those requirements? You mentioned or suggested partnering or dealing with the operators themselves, but what about the regulator? I kind of got that the FCC, you know, they oversee that, but do they have the experience or even the mindset to protect consumers in that area, or what would we do in that case?
Well, I think that's an excellent question in terms of what happens if the, in this country in particular, if the mobile network operators, because the banks either don't want to or just, you know, don't try to keep up with them, you're going to have these independent parties out there trying to do financial types of services without the protections or the regulations that are linked to the banks to do it. And so right now, there's nothing stopping them from doing that. And the FCC doesn't regulate. They regulate. I mean, I don't really understand how they do it, but they're not regulating focused on the consumer the way we are. They're worrying about the way that the any information is transmitted. But there aren't. They don't have the expertise in terms of complying with the kinds of things that the banks would. And so in some countries, like in Europe, they've got this payment system directive that kind of covers broadly across electronic payments, and mobile's part of that. So, and they've, what they've said is, you know, you're not a bank, but you're a payment service provider. And so they've provided some kind of an umbrella around them in order to build the regulation so that they can follow some of the rules that the banks do. And that's happened in some other countries, too, or they step in after a problem's happened. So we need to give that some thought, because that's a potential reality in this country. Either we prepare for that, or we really push to truly try to do a collaboration model so that we bring the parties together and we avoid that kind of a situation.
There we have coming here. And then we had Bob and then Kathy, I think, in the next two hands up.
Hi, my name is Denise. I work for CGAP. My question is more, it's more a general question on the interest for mobile payments. You said that what can we do to promote mobile payments in the U.S., but is that more from a regulator's perspective because something is already happening and then you need to see what is necessary from a regulatory standpoint, or is that a desire to promote something because you have underbanked and underserved communities in the U.S.?
I think that, and Jim, you probably want to jump on this one too, but I think from the unbanked and the underbanked perspective, there's probably more of a potential need to use mobile phones for payments and money and financial transactions in this country. And on the other, for the consumers who are banked and have other payment methods in their hands, that's where I was saying there really isn't yet as much of a demand for that. Now, the younger generation might change that, but at this point, we have lots of other alternatives, whereas the unbanked don't have those alternatives.
Yeah, when we look at consumer behavior and how business models evolve in response to opportunities for new product innovation, new service innovation, you know, I don't think there will be a lot of promotion required. There are cases where you get where misunderstandings have to be cleared up. So, for example, an education is required and people just aren't doing things that that would make sense for them. Like, you know, so many paperless statements are available and received by consumers today. I mean, it's the numbers are just, you know, the majority of consumers get at least some paperless statements. and yet they continue to get the paper statements that criminals love, and they send checks around, which is an absolutely dangerous thing to do. So sometimes there's education required and promotion. That's one answer to your question. But the other answer, I think, on mobile payments, because it's such an everyday activity, moment by moment, that if you meet the three goals for individual handling of money, which are convenience, safety, and then goal fulfillment, which means help people make their nest egg more full, then people will flock to it. And you could have to deal with some educational concerns, but it's really more of a supply problem than a demand problem, as I see it.
So we've got Bob right behind you. Rochelle? Yeah, if you could pass him down.
Bob Hunt from the Payment Card Center. I just want to dovetail back to that first question for a moment. So if we have a mobile payments infrastructure in which banks are not very active, there is a sort of a different regulatory environment out there. So FCC has a truth in billing rule. The FTC has a dispute process for what they call pay-per-call transactions. And they have a whole program of prosecution that deals with cramming, which is the introduction of unauthorized charges on the bill. And then at the state level, you have much more activity in terms of regulation through the utility commissions. So I'm not saying that this apparatus is adequate for dealing with mobile transactions, but the point is that if we go to a non-bank-centric model, we're going to have to figure out what that regulatory environment looks like and what kind of improvements will need to be made in order to provide the kinds of protections we usually think about in the banking environment.
That's right. Just to add, and you have to figure out what they do. You have to link them all together, and you somehow have to make it transparent to the consumer so they know where they go and they're not dealing with five or six different sets of regulations and rules and trying to understand all that.
Kathy Allen with the Santa Fe Group. And a couple of things. First of all, I applaud what you're trying to do, and I think the Fed is the right place for this to occur. And I think you've heard that over and over at several of the Fed meetings about that, because you do have the neutral role and the knowledge of payments, and those two things are critically important. There are some vehicles out there that could bring the telecoms to the table, but I even notice here there are very few telecoms at this meeting. And I don't know how many were invited or if they were, but oftentimes they won't come to the table. And there's an inherent competition between the U.S. telecoms and banks that is yet to come, and that is the U.S. telecoms do have an interest in owning or driving payment systems, and I think that's part of what keeps them from the table. But a more important thing is the differences of opinions between the FCC and really how they purview regulation of the telecoms. A couple of years ago, after 9/11, Steve Malfrus from the Federal Reserve Board and I, when I was the head of BITS, went to the NSTAC, which is the group of CEOs of telecoms, and the NRIC, which is the sort of standards-making organization of the telecoms. We were the only financial services people there, and the goal was to try to get the telecoms to understand how dependent the financial institutions are on them for security. And I will say, just because of personal relationships between Dwayne Ackerman and some of our CEOs in the financial area, we made some progress in that area. But by and large, the regulatory body and the CEO groups of the telecoms are not yet ready to come to the table. And I almost think the Fed is going to have to go up to the office of the president and down to the FCC and kind of have it, because certainly this administration understands security and technology, and put pressure for those two regulatory bodies to get together, which will then perhaps make the NRIC and NSTAC be the way, at least in the telecom world, to look at the changes in regulation that need to come there. Long-winded, but you are the right place for this to happen, I believe, and I think making the FCC work with the banking regulatory agencies is the way it's going to take place. Thank you.
So my apologies to all the folks with hands up. We have time for one more comment, and I was told it was this long. And that's about how much time we have before we have to take a break.
Hi, I'm Judy Reinerson from Bryan Cave. A couple of very quick comments. The FCC did issue a notice of inquiry this summer asking for information on emerging applications, and there was, so they have started to dip into that. There is an also on the issue that was raised earlier about the, what if banks aren't involved? There is the whole set of, don't forget, the state money transmitter licensing laws and the money service business regulations. There are already mobile payment providers who are licensed, and that's another way that we can ensure for consumers and users security.